How About Them Podcast with Landon McCool.
How about them Cowboys indeed?
Hello. Welcome back, folks, to another episode of the How About Them Podcast. I am your host, Landon McCool. This is kind of the dull, you know, calm before the storm that happens between the draft and when OTAs and mini camps really start picking up. We had the rookie mini camp just finish up. And you don't get a ton of information out of these guys. Out of these practices, you get the press gets access basically to, I think, two of the three practices. And, you know, it's really, I mean, everyone's in shorts and it's kind of more, technique work with these guys, so it's really usually not terribly interesting for the writers, the reporters to write about. So, we talk about it and we go over things that could happen, but we never end up hearing very much about it. So, as we start getting closer to OTAs and stuff like that, we will start getting a little bit more information coming out because, I mean, they're never going to get in pads, but they're going to, they'll start doing some more skeleton passing stuff and 7-on-7s, that sort of thing. So hopefully we'll find out, we'll hear a little bit more but reports coming out of OTAs. Yeah, I thought that what we would do today is I kind of just talk about some general thoughts about the team, what the new year is going to hold for us, and kind of where the team sits in a couple different spots across the roster as we sit right now. So let's not waste any more time. Let's get right into it.
180! 180! Kill, kill, kill!
Okay, so first topic that I want to discuss was the safety shakeout. I think there's a couple different angles to discuss things at the safety position right now, and I thought it was just kind of an interesting topic. It seems like we get a lot more discussion going about the cornerbacks, especially since we drafted three of them. Two of them, and then brought in a free agent. So there's a lot more numbers wise turnover at the cornerback position. But safety, definitely is going to be different looking as well, just because by proxy of the fact that one of your starters is gone. And I just also think that there's going to be kind of a shift in philosophy there. It seems to have been coming on its way for a little while. But I think one thing that the Cowboys will kind of continue, though, is this process now of starting to rotate their safeties. I think when you kind of look at the group as a whole, there are definitely pretty easy to kind of see defined roles that each one of them can play. I definitely think you need to get these guys in camp a little bit to kind of see, to confirm what you would naturally come up with on your own. But I think that the basis of playing time will really, for each one of these guys, will be dictated by what formation the defense is playing in. I could definitely see them playing more of this kind of three safety nickel package where you have your typical kind of high-low safety, a box safety and a floater. And then with Byron in there, just specifically in there to be a tight end eliminator. You with that kind of situation, like for instance, you could easily see a situation where you got either Frazier or Heath playing down low, and then either Woods or Heath playing in the back end. I mean, Heath seems to be the guy that just based out of all these guys, based on experience and based on body type, athleticism, I think Heath can probably play both safety spots. I think otherwise, Frazier is probably better suited in the box just because he is the kind of the bigger of the group. And Woods, he has the traits to play in the box for sure, but I think just with his size, he would be better suited at the back end, and then he can kind of come down and do some nickel back coverage stuff if you need him. So, again, that's a useful trait to have in as a base package safety. And, honestly, I think that's the other thing is that when we're considering all these guys, like the safeties and the cornerbacks, one of the things that we need to remember is that, you know, we still even it's really become a very outdated term to call what we are calling base defense, because you know, teams are spending up to 65 to 70% of the time in the nickel. So nickel is really, I mean, not only is nickel the, you know, the majority defense, it's by far the majority defense. So, you know, I think that that's why you're starting to see this kind of renewed investment in defensive backs. Not as opposed to pass rushers, but I guess, you know, kind of in lieu of the ability to get pass rushers, because you're putting a lot of these guys on the field. And it's a matchup league. And really what the offense wants to do is make you put enough defenders on the field that their worst receiver can still beat your worst corner. You know, their fourth receiver can beat your fourth corner. You know, I think that the more of these guys, these kind of versatile athletes you get in the back of the defense, the better. And I think that that's going to help kind of alleviate some of the stress that teams will try to, you know, cause through mismatch situations. But back to the safety spot, I truly think that if I have my preference and kind of if when they are playing quote unquote base D, that they have Heath or Frazier at strong safety and Jones at free safety for now. I mean, I think all these guys will get snaps, you know, based on their particular strengths again and how it matches up with certain, you know, formations, and how they respond to what the offense is dictating. But I think overall, I see Frazier and Heath as the box safeties, though I do think Heath can play both. Woods is more of the floater who can play nickelback. Jones is also versatile. Obviously, I mean, he's played a little bit of everything. It would be amazing if we could figure out a way, if the team could get comfortable with playing Byron at strong safety, just because of the schematic advantages that it would take advantage of, the fact that you could have you could play him sort of like Darren Woodson. Not that he is Darren Woodson, but, you know, a guy that could, you know, be in the box, cover a receiver out in the slot if need be. You know, definitely can handle tight ends, and just basically, you know, give you really great schematic flexibility from a position that you don't normally get anything like that. So that would be fantastic. But if they can't, then look for someone a little bit, you know, girth to them, a little bit more power to them, like Frazier or Heath, to get a lot of snaps in that box safety role, especially early on rundowns or downs where there's potential for run. And then in passing situations, they're going to get the guys like Woods and Jones on the field together, and then Heath and Frazier will come off and wait for a special team's turn. So I love the group as a whole. I'm excited to see how they kind of all fit together, and in what way they find interesting ways to kind of fit the safeties together. So moving on, I think we've got some. I have just a kind of series of tough offensive line questions, and I'll discuss, and I've broke them into two kind of subcategories. I think it's not. As you can see, I'm not really making a case either way. I present four tough questions for both sides of this argument for and against. And basically what I'm talking about, obviously, is Collins moving to right tackle. So I've broken these into two groups. If you move Collins to right tackle, there are four difficult offensive line questions that we will probably need to have to answer. And then if you don't move Collins to right tackle, I've got four more questions that you need to answer, I think, before you're going to start feeling comfy with what has been the result of either one of these two. Okay, so if you move Collins to right tackle, will he be able to pick it up fast enough? I think that is a legitimate concern because, you know, we've seen him after two off seasons working at left guard, still kind of struggle at times with assignments and you know, and that happens definitely for sure. I just have I don't know the player well enough to confirm that he has issues with this. I'm just asking the question, does he have issues with this? Because the evidence that I've seen so far is that he may have issues kind of picking up a new spot. And not that there's anything wrong with that, like, you know, so everyone has got their own strengths, and some people are able to kind of switch their mind like that and change two different positions. And again, I think I've pointed this out before, playing on the left and the right side is very difficult because you have to completely kind of switch your body doing, you know, it's like trying to do everything backwards. And then, you know, switching from guard to tackle while switching from left to right is also incredibly difficult. So I'm not, you know, suggesting that he's an idiot or anything like that. What they would be asking him to do is an incredible difficult transition. I think that's my point, is that this is a tough thing that they're asking Collins to do. Is he up for it? We're going to find out. Moving Collins to right tackle, will he need help full time? Is Collins going to be able to, you know, with Green, I've seen it on the left side. I've seen him playing on the left side without help and play pretty well. So I don't really have that question about Green. I mean, as long as he can pick up moving from left to right. But he was the swing tackle last year, so he practiced at both left and right tackle. But with Collins, you know, it's sort of related to the first question, but even if it's not, he might be able to pick it up and know how to play right tackle, but just not might not be good enough right away to not need help, tight end help, whatever, scheme help full time. And I think that's the benefit that we lost with Doug Free. And I think that's an important benefit to keep track of, is that he allowed you the ability to be able to just have your left and right tackle operate on the island. And I don't know that. You know, I don't think that you're going to be able to do that necessarily with Green full time either. But I do think that there is I've already seen Green operate on his own without help. We haven't seen Collins do that yet, and in space, that's a difficult thing. And he hasn't been dealing in space in the NFL yet. He's only dealt with it on a college level. So, the third question is: Cooper good enough to start at left guard? I think that's a part of this whole thing. Part of the plan of moving Collins from left guard to right tackle is the idea, okay, well, we can also manage to get Cooper on the field, and now you've got all these, you know, number one picks, and you know, that means something on the field when it doesn't. I love Jonathan Cooper coming out. I thought he was amazing. I mean, maybe the only person who loved Jonathan Cooper more than me was KD Drummond. Friend of the show, but that, you know, I mean, you can't argue with what he's done since he's been in the NFL, and that's not much. I mean, I don't know if, you know, I've discussed this a little bit before. I don't really know if things changed for him, his athleticism changed, if he just never recovered from those initial injuries he suffered his rookie season. But. I think that if he can get back to that level of athleticism, he's definitely good enough to start. The question is he the same player? I mean, he didn't play great for Cleveland. If you go back and watch the tape, he played okay for Cleveland. I think, you know, obviously playing between Tyron Smith and Frederick will help some things for sure, but you know, I'm pretty sure that, you know, Cooper was playing next to Joe Thomas at times in Cleveland. And again, say what you will, Cleveland shouldn't be like rejecting talent. So like, you know, how great is Cooper if the Browns are just, you know, kind of letting him go? Now clearly, part of that had to do with his incredibly high cap number still tied to his rookie deal, because he was picked up off waivers. He never cleared waivers. The Cowboys were the first team that picked him up, not on his rookie deal. But, you know, it's it's something to consider because, you know, we are assuming a lot about someone who hasn't shown us even close to what we're assuming in the NFL. So, and then finally, the last question again about Cooper is, even if he is good enough to start, does Cooper starting limit this offensive line's ability to run man power schemes? I think Cooper is prototypical. I mean, you know, at least the kid that I saw coming out of college, if he can get back to that kind of athleticism, he's prototypical left guard in a zone blocking scheme. So he definitely can fit in that way. And the Cowboys could definitely run a, you know, majority zone scheme. I mean, that's something that the Cowboys could do for sure. I think part of the reason that the Cowboys have had a lot of success is their ability to mix up man and power schemes into their play calling. And I do wonder how much Cooper can help with that, because I don't know about his ability to move people off the ball. He's an athlete. He's good at hitting targets in space. He's a shielder. I don't know how much he's moving people nowadays. You know, I think that there's a lot of unknown with Jonathan Cooper. I mean, hopefully he got into this training room, got some time to completely heal from injuries that he, I guess, had lingered with him and had overcome a lot of that stuff. But we don't know. So I don't think we should assume that he did necessarily until we see it. So moving on, if you don't move Collins to right tackle, obviously the first question is Green ready to be a starter full time? I mean, even if he's healthy, I mean, healthy is the next question. If he's healthy, we've seen Green play tackle, but I mean, is he ready to be a full season starter? Even if he was able to stay healthy, that takes a level of mental and physical endurance that hasn't really shown in a couple of years. So I think he's got all the talent, the technique that you need to be a starter, and maybe even a pretty good starter. But I you know, obviously the we haven't seen him do it for long periods of time, and that brings me to the second question. Can you really rely on Green to stay healthy? I don't know why you could at this point. He hasn't done it the last 3 or 4 years. I mean, I'm a big believer in his talent. I can understand what the Cowboys saw. I can understand, you know, why they thought he could be the swing tackle. When he's on the field, he looks like a guy who can do all those things. I just think that he has not been able to stay healthy, and it's been a seemingly never-ending cascading set of injuries, lower body, back, you know. We got to see him get out there. If he wants this job, he's got to go out there, got to be ready for training camp. He's got to go out there and take that right tackle job and just never let it go. That's what we need to see from him. That's what we need to see from one of these guys, no matter what. But for Green, especially with his injury situation, he just needs to go out there and say, hey, I'm the best tackle, right tackle on this team. This is my job. I'm not getting hurt. I'm not giving you my job. Next question. If Collins spends all offseason working at right tackle, how will he transition back to left guard? I mean, this is kind of going back to the other part of the issue. And I know this feels like I'm speaking out of both sides of my mouth. But honestly, if we hadn't done this, this wouldn't be an issue. It'd be us if they had focused on, you know, making Collins ready for left guard this offseason, then we wouldn't have a problem with him having to flop back and forth from right tackle to left guard, or just the problem of moving to right tackle. So I just want to point out that that is doublespeak. There is a third option here, and that is to not make Collins try to transition to right tackle. But I again, there's circumstance involved there too. I understand why they did that, but there is a third option there. I didn't want to sound like I was being hypocritical here, but the point is that, again, you know, Collins has not necessarily shown us yet that he's a guy who picks up position transitions quickly. Maybe he picks up on this easier because he's played tackle in college. I don't know if you knew that, John Oney. He played left tackle in college, and he's playing right tackle now. And it's, you know, left tackle in college and right tackle in the NFL are not the same thing. So, but I think it's something, again, to keep an eye on, that is he going to have, what's his transition going to be like, both to right tackle and potentially back to left guard if he has to go there? And then finally, what is your game plan? What is your in-game plan if Green gets hurt? I think that this is an issue, you know, probably both ways, because you don't want to have your backup tackle hurt either. But if Green is your starter at right tackle, and then he gets hurt, which, you know, I think there could be a very high likelihood that that happens. What's your plan then? Are you moving Lael out and then putting Jonathan Cooper in, or is Byron Bell going to take over for the rest of the game, and then you move Lael over if it's multiple games? I think you're going to have a backup plan. I guess that's really the bottom line of this, is that we need to have a backup plan as well as a, you know, plan A. Plan A is tough enough, but we got to have a backup plan as well. All right. So those are questions to ponder along those offensive line news stories, I guess. I mean, I'm not trying to play like, you know, Cassandra for the offensive line. I don't think it's that bad, but I feel unsettled with the whole situation. I'm sure I'll feel better once we get to training camp and we see some of these guys doing these things. So, my final little segment I just want to talk about was, can Rico really do this? Someone asked me earlier today what Rico's ceiling was, and it was on Twitter, so I felt like I couldn't really answer it properly. I kind of flippantly answered, you know, I can't see it from here. And then I suggested I think he can make the 53 this year, and I do. But let's take a moment to dream for a second, shall we? The team has him listed at 6'6", 290 pounds. So this guy, we know, has had a nasty demeanor on the basketball court and loved to get physical. And at that size, he's basically like having another offensive tackle on the field. Now imagine having an offensive tackle that was also nimble and athletic enough to go out and run routes and catch passes. A true two-way tight end threat. Now imagine having him line up at the Y, and having Witten as a move tight end on some 12 packages. It would be hard to stop. Now, all that dreaming is his ceiling. In reality, he just needs to find work as a mismatch player. I think that's how he's going to, you know, I think he has two paths that to get on this team. If he's, you know, advanced enough to be able to, you know, run routes and get open. I mean, he doesn't need to necessarily get open, but if he's advanced enough to run routes and catch passes, he can make the team just as a mismatch player, and they'll find use out of him. The other path would be, obviously, if he can get his blocking to a level that is, you know, useful, especially for a guy at his size. I think he could make the team as a blocking tight end at the very least, and then obviously catch the passes along the way. Hopefully, you know, his blocking is somewhat developed to the point where he could be reliable as either a run or pass blocker, or maybe both situationally. And we just talked about the fact that we're going to need to probably give our right tackles, you know, some help this year, more than Doug Free received at least. But, you know, all of this is really speculative, and especially the blocking part, you know, because we don't have any video of him in pads lately. But to me, I think the best way to use him would be if he's figured this out enough, he would be great as a guy who could, you know, chip some of these defensive ends to help the right tackle, or maybe help the right tackle at times with some pass blocking if he's developed in that way. Just because of his size and his wingspan and everything, I think it just makes him really useful there. Obviously, he's a pass-catching threat because of his size and his hands. I mean, he's not fast, but he's, for a guy his size, he can move. So, I mean, you know, his ceiling is, I mean, he has the body if he has the work ethic and he can hone it. I mean, the ceiling is, you know, Hall of Fame, my man. I mean, like, with the guys that size and move like that in today's NFL, you know, I mean, his ceiling is ridiculous. It really is. And that's why you take a guy who hasn't played football since eighth grade. He's been a basketball player because he has potential that's, you know, unknowable because he has such a physical advantage on guys. Again, tight end is a position that is one of the most difficult to learn. You know, I think the amount of information you have to know, you got to know everything about the offense to run certain routes, the option routes and that sort of thing. You got to know everything about the offense, what the offense is doing, what the defense is doing in order to get open on those things. I think that there are definitely aspects of the tight end position that he is still not even close to being ready for. But that doesn't mean that you can't get a lot of really good use out of him right away. You know, I think, like I mentioned before, all he needs to do is get one side of his game to a level of acceptable, and I think he's got a real shot to make this team. Because I think I love Swaim and Hannah, but you know, the fact that they both just could not stay healthy last year, and then this continuing issues at this point, I don't know that both of them are going to make the team. And there could be a very real situation that you keep just four tight ends. So I love what Rico could become, but I think it's all, you know, speculative at this point, until we see kind of what, you know, what he can do ourselves. But it is certainly, certainly fun to dream. Guys, that's it for me. I want to make sure that you guys are checking out FanRackSports.com all throughout the week. They're going to have all kinds of great reports on the OTAs, mini camps. You know, as the league turns, I'm sure we'll hear more and more information about what went down in the draft, which is always interesting. Some kind of post-draft stories here and there. So FanRack Sports is going to have you covered for all kinds of interesting stuff, so make sure you check them out. And guys, make sure you follow me on Twitter as well, @McCoolBTB. And until next week, happy trails, everybody.